Translation: the military strengths of the Kauravas were like an ocean in which they dwelled invincible existences. I'm sorry, a bit word blindness sometimes. And thus it was insurmountable because of his friendship. And I, seated on the chariot, was able to cross over it. And only by his grace was I able to regain the cows and also collect by force many helmets of the kings who were bedecked with jewels and who were the sources of all brilliance. Purport. On the Kaurava side, there are many stalwart commanders like Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and Karna, and their military strength was insurmountable as a great ocean. And yet, this was due to the Lord's grace that Arjuna alone, sitting on the chariot, could manage to vanquish them one after another without difficulty. There are many changes of commanders on the other side, but on the Pandava side, Arjuna alone, on the chariot driven by Lord Krishna, could manage the whole responsibility of the great war. Similarly, when the Pandavas, who were living at the palace of Virat incognito, the Kauravas picked a quarrel with King Virata and decided to take away his large number of cows. While they were taking away the cows, Arjuna fought with them incognito and was able to regain the cows along with some booty taken by force. The jewels set on the turbans of the royal order. Arjuna remembered that all this was possible by the grace of the Lord. So this purport is how Arjuna is remembering Krishna. And how at the battle of Kurukshetra, he defeated, with Krishna's mercy, an insurmountable army as great as an ocean. So, for the devotees, we are also facing an insurmountable enemy. And this enemy of the devotees is in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Daivihi mayasya gunamayi mama mayi duratya mam eva ya prampranjite mayam etam tarantite. This energy, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross it. Now, in this purport, it's a long purport, and I'm going to read the whole purport. It's just a small section. Yes, it is. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. You must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Krishna, who is bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help gain one such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusion energy, can order his surmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul, out of his parental affection for the living entity. So we can see from that purport that only Krishna, or the Krishna's bona fide transitive, the spiritual master, can free us from this insurmountable energy, because this Krishna has many energies, but they're all divine energies. They're all divine. They all belong to Krishna. But so therefore, we cannot defeat them, because they're divine energies. These three modes are divine energies, but we cannot defeat them. But Krishna has given us the answer. Well, he's given us the clause to get out of it. One can say that by surrendering unto him, we can be free from them. We can be free. If we surrender to Krishna directly, or as bona fide representative of the spiritual master, but of course we cannot, for the general bonded soul, conditioned soul, we cannot approach Krishna directly. So we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can set us free. And we have to surrender, just as Arjuna did in the in chapter 2, he surrendered. And then Krishna, again, he says, Sarvadharma Pritraja, Mam Mikam Savam Praja, Hamma Tramparam Tare Praplevyu Moksha Musacha. Surrender unto me. Give up all religion and surrender unto me. Do not fear, for shall I protect you. So this is So Bhakti Thakur, has given us six characteristics of surrender. Acceptance of those things favorable to bhakti. 2, rejection of unfavorable things. 3, conviction that Krishna will give you protection. The acceptor of the Lord as one guardian or master, or in brackets, maintainer. 5, full self-surrender. And 6, humility. So Bhakti Thakur, in his commentary, in one of his books, I forget which one it is now, so the most important ones are too free. No, sorry. No, 3, 4, and 5. Conviction that Krishna will give you protection, that Krishna will maintain you, and one has to be full surrender. And the other three will follow automatically. So, full surrender. This is full surrender. So we have to fully surrender to that representative of Krishna. If our surrender is not full, complete surrender, then it is partial, conditional, or artificial. It's and Krishna reciprocates according to our surrender. So if our surrender is partial, conditional, or artificial, then that's what Krishna will reciprocate with us. Because Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. So if our surrender is partial, conditional, artificial, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. But if we're fully, completely surrendered to Krishna or his bona fide representative, then Krishna will fully reciprocate with us. And surrender is just like when Maharaj Parikshit first, when he knew that he had only 7 days to live, and he and Sukadev Goswami came. First, Parikshit Maharaj, first he surrendered to Sukadeva Goswami, and then he listened. He didn't listen and then surrender. First he surrendered fully to Sukadeva Goswami, and then he listened. Because if you surrender first and then you listen, then one will understand, because you're concentrating more. So therefore, I was always thinking in the Bhagavatam, there's no mention, I've read, there's no mention of Parikshit Maharaj's, if he ever had a Diksha Guru. There's no mention of it. There's mention of his birth chart, but there's no mention of if he had a Diksha Guru. So, sorry. So, of course, there is a Shiksha Guru. So I was generally thinking that Parikshit was his Shiksha Guru. But the other day, or actually yesterday, I was looking up the word Vaishnav Diksha on the... and then I came across some information from the Sastra. Now, there are five types of Vaishnava Diksha, or initiation. Samya Diksha, imitation by ritual. Sparsha Diksha, imitation by touch, and is not done without ritual. Varga Diksha, which is done by word or mantra. Sambhava Diksha, arising from the perception of the external appearance of the guru. And Mano Diksha, when initiation is performed in the mind. So, of course, for us in generally in Gaudiya Vaishnavism now, we follow the Sambhava Diksha, which is perception we take from the external appearance of the spiritual master. But if we look at the life of some of our acharyas, like Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, with his initiation, he was instructed to go to the Jalangi, take bath, and then Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj came and whispered the Gayatri mantra in the ear. I think it's the left ear. Because in those days, there was no such thing as first initiation. And actually, in those days, initiation meant getting the Gayatri mantra straight away. But to pacify the brahmanas later, when the Gaudiya Math was started, to pacify them, the brahmanas there in Navadvip, and he started first and second process. And so therefore, Diksha is very important. But in Diksha, the Diksha Guru, of course, is only one, but we can have many Shiksha Gurus, many. And of course, when we see our parampara, it's mainly Shiksha, mainly. Mainly Shiksha. And this is, and like Bhagavan Thakur, his Shiksha Guru was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And so it is also mentioned in Guru Tattva that Diksha is actually the spiritual master is in initiating us, or that devotee, in his relationship with Krishna. Spiritual relationship. This is called Sambandha. This is from the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, I personally found, first time I read Bhagavad Gita, I skipped the introduction and went straight on to the other 18 chapters. Now, I couldn't make a head or tail of it one little bit. Then the second time I read Bhagavad Gita, I read the introduction, and then I could understand a lot about the Bhagavad Gita. Because in this introduction, everything that's in the 18 chapters he explains very nicely in the from the he explains nicely the 18 chapters. So this is in this version it's page 3. In other versions it's page 4. Or prints, I should say. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is the best understood by a person who has the qualities similar to Arjuna. That is to say, one must be a devotee in direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter. But briefly, it can be stated that a devotee is in relationship with the Supreme Personal Godhead in one of 5 different ways. One may be a devotee in a passive state. One may be a devotee in an active state. One may be a devotee as a friend. One may be a devotee as a parent. And one may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. Arjuna was in relationship with Krishna as a friend. And of course, there is a gulf of difference between his friendship and friendship found in the material world. This transcendental friendship cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular friendship with the Lord. But that relationship is evoked by perfection of devotional service. So at Diksha, or initiation, first initiation, the spiritual master, he links you with Krishna, and then through the Abhideya, he gives you service in relationship with that relationship, and then one will attain the progen, the goal of life. Of course, the goal of life is to get Krishna. This is the goal of life. This is the sole goal of life, to Krishna. The other day, I was hearing a class, and I think I mentioned it in the last class I gave, where Krishna says, the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is simply to love God. This is the purpose. And so the way we can show how to love God is to love the spiritual master, to love his bona fide representative, because he is Krishna's intimate servant in the spiritual world. So therefore, if you want to love Krishna, we must love the spiritual master. And the best way to love the spiritual master is to follow what he says in our general instruction or specific instruction he gives you. This is the best way. And never change what he says. Never deviate from what he says, and never take anything away from what he says. We follow according to what he says. So if he gives you a particular instruction, you must do it without fail and keep it. Otherwise, we will commit the third offense to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And we, of course, know that is the Nam Aparad. So we We love Krishna, and through his spiritual master, through his intimate friend, intimate associate. And then if we do that, then he will give us his causeless mercy, just like Arjuna got the causeless mercy. It says in the purport, Arjuna got the causeless mercy of Krishna. So we will get the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. And even if the spiritual master, of course, now recently, we all know about Dhritu Maharaj. He left this planet recently. But I was talking to someone the other day, and the topic came up about what to do now, and he said, the only answer I could give, because hearing so many classes on Guru Tattva, and the most common question that's asked, what happens when the spiritual master leaves before the disciple? The spiritual master in the spiritual world is making an arrangement for all these disciples, his aspiring disciples and initiated disciples, he's making arrangement for them from the spiritual world. He's making arrangements for the ones who are waiting for initiating, ones who are waiting to take second. He's making an arrangement from the spiritual world. And so therefore, he will send someone to help that particular disciple out. So this is the power of the spiritual master. Even from the spiritual world, he's making an arrangement for all of us. So therefore, we just have to, ultimately, we have to just surrender, fully surrender the spiritual feet of the spiritual master, love him as a father, which he is. He's our father. Now, one time I was in Ujjain, and I went to see Bhaktivinoda Maharaj in his room upstairs. He knows where he is, his room. Personal room up in his, and he was Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was asking me, so Dabaladev Das says, so tell me some of your childhood, so then I told him, sometimes, I told him my father was in the British Army. And sometimes he would be very heavy, because his rank was a colonel, and so it was very heavy of us sometimes. My little brother and little sister, very heavy of us. And then he joked and he said, yes, this father will sometimes have to be heavy with you. And he laughed when he was saying it. So I just laughed back with him as well. I could understand what he was saying. And then And then he gave me some instructions what to do. Then I followed them. So this is, and even now he's making arrangements for all of us, making arrangements for me, for all of his disciples. So one should, for those ones who are listening, the ones who are here, they should not worry, because he's making an arrangement. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments or... Surrender, I just explained. Full surrender means... Full surrender means that you have... what's the word? I can't say the word. Full faith in whatever, faith in the spiritual master, whatever he says is the absolute. Even though, like one time, I can give an example. One time there was one, I forget now who the guru was, spiritual master was. He wasn't one, this happened in India, this devotee was telling me. He was at a house program in India somewhere. So there was no Madanga player there for some reason. So this spiritual master, he said, Sanso Das, pick up the Madanga. Then he said, you know, Guru Dev, I can't play the Madanga. I can't play it. You know, I can't play Madanga. Just pick the Madanga up and play. But you know, I can't play. He like protesting like this. And eventually, the guru, spiritual master, he didn't get angry, but in a very stern voice, just pick it up and play. He picked it up and he could play. Madanga. And he was amazed himself. So this is what you have to do. Just follow what seems impossible. This is what full faith is. Having full faith. And he realized afterwards that I should have followed that instruction in the first place. Instead of arguing with him. But also, another story I like to relate is that, now this is generally very, very rare. Some of you may know this story, but some of the new devotees may not know it. In the 80s, Germany said one must take initiation from bona fide spiritual master. But it also says in Shastra that this is very, very, very rare, that one can go back to Godhead without taking diksha, because that devotee's relationship with that spiritual master wasn't broken. So this was in the 80s in Villa Vrindavan. And there was one congregation member. And he had a full-time job. And then after he did his job, he would go to the temple and wash pots for, I think, about 2 or 3 hours. But so when he was washing the pots, the devotees would generally rush it, but he would be very pucker, clean the pots spotless. So the devotees gave him, I'm not going to say what it is, but not a very nice nickname. And he was doing this, And then one night he had a dream. Lord Chaitanya said, go to the Vrindavan. He had a dream of Lord Chaitanya. Go to the Vrindavan. So then he went to Vrindavan. And within two days, he left his body. And he had no health issues, nothing. He was only a young boy in his 30s, no health problems. So when the devotees in Florence, in Villa Vrindavan, found out, he had one friend, he had one brahmachari friend. And then he actually revealed this devotee's personal sadhana. He would do a full-time job in his what it was, come to the temple to wash the pots and chant 40 rounds a day, 7 days a week. 40 rounds a day, every day. And the devotees realized that the name they gave him applies to them. So it is possible to go back to Godhead without being initiated, but I said this is very, very rare. But generally for us, as conditioned souls, we have to follow the procedure given by the by Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur. Yes, sir. He was, yeah. Finishing off, but also the link was still there with the spiritual master. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We actually don't know
who it is. Yeah, we don't know who it is, I mean. Well, devotees said in Vrindavan he went back to Godhead. Yes. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't have not told him to go to Vrindavan. Yes, Prajna Prabhu.
There's another thing that Prabhupada, he seemed to get his guru from everywhere, didn't he? He seemed to have that understanding that this person is my guru speaking. And he somehow was receiving messages from his guru in different ways through different persons.
Yeah.
Which is a very wonderful thing, because he's like a surrendered soul, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But that's the way he understood how Guru stays with you through anybody. He's speaking mm-hmm. through them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could, the example I can think of immediately is in New York, when Prabhupada was sick at Christmas time. He was sick. And it was Christmas time, and there's no doctors around. All the surgeries were closed. The only doctor that they could find was a drunken doctor. And he staggered into Prabhupada's room, half drunk, and he said, he looked at him and he said, "There's nothing wrong with the old man. He just needs exercise." And he could take that. He took that as an instruction from his guru. So after that, the morning walk started.
So Prabhu, thank you for class. Is it possible to be attached to your guru from a previous life and
yes.
then find it difficult to get initiated in this life or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, it is.
Is this quite possible?
It is possible, yeah. But then the spiritual master, as I said, will make arrangement for you, for that person, for that person, he will make an arrangement to meet someone who is similar. In fact, it may be the spiritual master he may be the same spiritual master in a different form that you can't recognize him. Because one time in Mayapur, Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj was asked a question like this. The question was, how many spiritual masters are there in the spiritual world? And his reply was, there are wall-to-wall spiritual masters, but you won't recognize them because they've... He said, you won't recognize him as he is. So you won't recognize him because his form is different. But they're wall-to-wall spiritual masters.
Wall-to-wall? Does that mean
wall-to-wall?
Innumerable?
Innumerable. So he may come in a different form. His story of... And the spiritual master came back as a woman to teach that disciple something. I forget the story now, but the spiritual master returned as a woman to teach that particular disciple or instruct that particular disciple.
I think of Mother Teresa.
I don't know.
She's not in our lineup. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. Some time ago, I heard from... one of my godbrothers, one of our godbrothers, that if we don't surrender properly to the spiritual master in this life, if we don't follow the instructions, maybe they're displeased with us in that case.
Yeah.
But then you'll have to find since you're initiated, you'll come back as a human being in your next life, but you'll have to find a different spiritual master, not the same spiritual master. I just wanted to clear any, because I don't know.
Because I've heard a lecture, I heard a room conversation some years back. It's on the archive somewhere, but it's a room conversation. And one of his disciples is asking Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he said, is it true that... the spiritual master is a spiritual master for eternally. And then you could hear on the recording Prabhupada going, yes, but don't let me come back. So.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe you're just seeking some clarification on that. Based on that, the spiritual master is the same spiritual master that you always have.
Yeah, but he may have come in a different form. Yeah.
I've also heard another thing as well, that sometimes the spiritual... Let's say you had a spiritual master from previous life, and then you get born again, and he may not, for whatever reason, let's say he doesn't come himself directly,
yeah,
but he sends one of his representatives.
Yeah, yeah, that's there as
to
well.
To look after you as a kind of surrogate.
Yeah, but that's there as well. Yeah. That's there as well. Yeah.
Because there's that case, and I can say this publicly. Because
yeah, that's there as well. What you say is perfectly true as well. Yeah.
Yeah, your god sister. From Hare Krishna Festival team.
Oh, Ratnavali. Yeah.
Rataji, because she was Prabhupada's disciple.
Disciple in her last life, yeah.
And now she's a Bhakti Charan Maharaj disciple.
Yeah, yeah.
But Prabhupada said that, yeah, she will come back as a... he will come back as a devotee again.
Yeah.
So he'll be, you know, situated nicely.
Yeah. So yeah. So Prabhupada used.
Prabhupada like used Bhaktacharya as a surrogate. Basically.
Yeah. So what you say is true as well. Yeah, that's there as well. So anything else?
It is mentioned that the guru is one. Even Prabhupada mentioned, I heard, so guru is one. We should kind of meditate on what that actually means. The guru is one, so it may not be that the same person will come. The guru is one in sense. Same instructions, same lines. So you may get some...
Guru is one is meant that this the spiritual that the Diksha Guru will give you initiation, but the Shiksha Guru, according to what I read the other day in Prabhupada's books, the Shiksha Guru will give you specific if you've got the Shiksha Guru can give you specific instructions on devotional service. Of course, you know, also the Diksha Guru can do that. But if you're not seeing the Diksha Guru that much physically, and then you're taking a Shiksha Guru locally, that Shiksha Guru can actually give you instructions on devotional service. So that in that sense, that is the guru is one, yeah.
Just one small thing. I will speak to you, but there are a number of devotees who didn't have faith in their guru for complex circumstances.
Yeah, I know, in the 80s, yeah.
So what's happened to them is that, I mean, if you don't have faith, you know, so is that the way some other guru to come?
Now, I asked this question to someone some time back. The same question I had. You're talking about disciples of the who took initiation from the Southern Lord Chariots. The ones who fall down, yeah. So what happens is generally, now this, I'm sorry to say this, but what happened, I had the same question, and the reply I got was that those disciples who took initiation from that spiritual master, they wanted a guru who could give them, they wanted to cheat Krishna. In other words, they didn't take the guru for the right motives, the right incentives. So therefore, Krishna sent them a guru who will fulfill their material desires. And when that, so therefore, Krishna cheated them. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, "I am the cheat." In the 14th chapter on the cheater. Krishna cheated them because of their mentality, because of their cheating mentality. They came to spiritual life for the material, things. Material. Well, Mahaprabhu is very merciful. He gives them a chance to come back. It's like one Prabhupada disciple, Bajuma. And after Prabhupada left the planet, within 2 weeks he had left the movement. He was a Sanskrit scholar. And so some years later, he was flying to Australia. and he landed and he fell seriously sick on the flight. So they landed and they took him to the hospital, and he left his body. No, sorry. So the local devotees from the local temple in Australia, I forget where it was now, came because they knew him, who he was. And they went to see him. And this Pradyumna Prabhu, he said, Srila Prabhupada is here with me. I can see Srila Prabhupada standing before me. So Prabhupada was there with him. So Krishna's making, no, it's up to the individual, it's up to those devotees to find someone. There's devotees here who've gone through three spiritual masters. Three. But they're still chanting and doing service. It's up to the individual.
Story, but I don't want to say it on mic because it happens to me, you see. Happened to me and the person might be listening. But for this part of the question, I can speak on the mic. So what happens to someone if they're in an environment where someone, like a living condition or something, and you're pursuing your spiritual life, you know, you're going on with it, and someone else who you cohabit with, maybe you live in the same space, what if they disobey the instruction of the spiritual master, and how would that affect your consciousness if you're in that space?
If you're in that space, you know that you have to. So you're saying that someone's living outside,
yeah,
and they're in the wrong. The environment is wrong for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, I mean the person is initiated, and I heard the person was like rejecting the spiritual master. How can he say that? I can't do this. And like rejecting.
Therefore,
I felt it was affecting my consciousness. I felt the whole space felt funny.
I would advise you personally, don't associate with him. Because who you associate will affect your consciousness. Like one of Prabhupada's sons, his own son, a son of a pure devotee, because he associated with rickshawwallas, became a rickshawwaller. Don't associate with him. Respect him, yes. Pay obeisance to him, but don't take association with him. If you want to take association of higher devotees. You may not understand what they're saying, but if one is humble and submissive, by their causeless mercy, one will understand.
In my case, thanks, Prabhu. In my case, it was like I was a tenant at this person's house.
Yes.
I know you mean. There was a tenant there, but that was a motivation for me to leave. Actually.
Yes. So one should not associate with that devotee. Well, of course, be humble and respect him because he's initiated, but one should not associate with him. Oh, but, no, be friends with him. Be friends. Don't make enemies, but just be friends with him, but don't associate with him. Okay, leave it there. On a controversial subject. Kantarajima Matamaki Jai.